This is the Digital Story Podcast, number 505, November 10th, 2015. Today's theme is getting our house in order. I'm Derek Story. Well, as we settle into the new format for this show, I just have to tell you how excited I am about the prospects of 2016. And you go, oh my gosh, why are you talking about that right now? We're not even through 2015 yet. But think about it. And actually, this hooks into our first story of the day after this opening monologue, where if you take out the holidays, and if you take out, you know, all the stuff that we normally have to do at the end of the year, there really isn't that much time left in 2015. I mean, we have roughly 6 weeks before you even take stuff out right now. And one of my philosophies about work and art and all that stuff is to have a head of steam going into the next chapter. I used to do the same thing in sports. I wanted to finish up one season well. I wanted to have a good off-season training, and I wanted to be ready to hit the ground running when the new season started. I feel the same way about the podcast, my business, photography, and really life in general. That's why I wanted to get the new format for the podcast nailed down. I wanted to run it by you. The feedback has been terrific. I wanted to get the new newsletter going. I'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. Wanted to have that rolling in 2015. You know, way back when, I mentioned that one of my business goals is to create a new product every year, to create one new thing every year. And this was even when I was working for, you know, companies and so forth. Every year I wanted to have something new, because I figured if I did that, by the time I moved on to another plane, then there would be, you know, a lot of new things I've done. So, you know, that's the way I look at it. I did meet my goals this year a little bit later, actually, than I had planned on. But nonetheless, I reached them. I really feel like we're getting our house in order, and we are going to have together, collectively, a great 2016. Getting the house in order. So as I mentioned before, we have roughly 6 weeks before the end of 2015. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of things competing for our attention during that time. But in your own world, I want to run a few things by you for you to think about that you can do during this time so that when 2016 comes to play, we're ready for it. We're ready for it as photographers, as writers, as artists. Not to mention, you know, just kind of, you know, managing this enthusiast hobby that we all have. I mean, I'm a photographer for a living, but photography is also my hobby. And I just have a lot of stuff to take care of. So I have three things that I want you to think about. Maybe pick one for the end of this year to give you that little bit of head of steam as you head into 2016. First one, equipment inventory. This one, you know, this is very basic, but boy, we all forget to do it, right? You probably have purchased some new items in 2015. Have you logged them in? Do you have an updated inventory of your camera gear? You know, that includes bodies, lenses, flashes, accessories, all the stuff that you would want to tell an insurance company or a police officer or anyone that if somehow it was stolen or you lost it or there was flood damage or whatever happens. You know, all those things that we don't want to think about, right? Where we just want to put our fingers in our ears and go, nah, 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 nah. All of those sort of things. Do you have them written down? Do you have them stored somewhere? Do you have a file that has what it is, basically how much you paid for it, and the serial numbers that go with it? If you don't, This is an easy thing to do. You can do it on a Saturday or a Sunday when you're kicking around, and you can finish it that same day, you know, in a couple of hours, probably for most of us, unless you've really been buying a lot of stuff. A couple hours, and then you can say at the end of the day, it's like having cleaned the garage. You know, you just want to like walk out there and look at it every hour and go, man, that looks good. Why did I wait so long? You'll feel the same way about having updated equipment inventory. It'll feel great. And then you know you can go into 2016 up to date with your gear. Here's another one. Hard drive evaluation. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean, what is the state of your archiving system? And do you have the hardware to match your needs, not only right now, but going into the new year? It's so easy because, I mean, accumulating photographs is the simplest thing there is, right? You just hold your finger down on a button and you're going sometimes 25 megabytes, 25 megabytes, 25 megabytes, 25 megabytes. You know, just every time you hear that click. And those 25 megabytes or 20 megabytes or whatever it is, every time you push the shutter button, those add up over time. And we really need a way to preserve these because you never know. You never know. I mean, we've talked about this so many times and we will talk about it many more times. You never know when you're going to need a photograph. It was interesting. A couple weeks ago, when we did the interview about the Sonoma Coast book, and the photographer was talking about, well, you know, I just showed my partner, her business partner, I just showed her my Flickr page and said, hey, you know, pick the shots that you want. And she did. And then she goes, okay, so now I need, you know, the master files because, you know, Flickr resolution is not book resolution. And suddenly he had to go on a search to find all those images he had posted on Flickr. If he did not have some sort of archiving or backup system, then he would not be able to participate in that opportunity, which is a published book. And this comes up over and over again. So what I'm asking is that just sit down for a minute, take a look at your setup, take a look at your free hard drive space, take a look at your system for backing up. Just look at it and go, am I in good shape going into 2016? Or do I need to add a hard drive? Do I need to add an array? Do I need to at least make some plans for adding some equipment or improving my system so that I know going into 2016 that I'm not going to get caught off guard? I'm not going to one day go to back up a memory card and have the red light come on and say, nope, disk is full, and then what are you going to do? So that is my second proposal to you for this home stretch of 2015. Evaluate your hard drives, look at your gear, look at your system, make sure that you have a plan going into 2016. Now, the third one is more personal to me and some of you than it may be to others, but is your photo management software. You know, when the year changes, that is a great time. If you're going to make a change to your photo management software, that's a great time to do it because, you know, we tend to think in years. And I would love, for example, in my case, if I was going to make a change from Aputure, have my Aputure library go up through 2015, then make a clean change on January 1st, 2016 to .. whatever that's going to be, so that I know when I'm looking, you know, let's go back to point number two, so that I know when I'm looking for a photo in 2015, I go to my Freeze It In Time Mac that has Aputure running on it, and when I'm looking for a photo in 2016, I go to .. And I'm saying .. because I have not totally figured this out myself. This is the one that I need to do, right? And is on my list, and I'm working on it, believe me. But when the year changes, this is a great time to figure out, okay, if I'm going to switch to this system, now's the time to do it. And the preparation for now is the time to do it is actually really right now. So that when January 1st comes around, you have your system set up in place and ready to go. In the news, so I have a couple cool news items for you today. This first one, this is from Digital Camera World. And I looked at the piece and I looked at the image and I go, this is just kind of neat. I don't know if I'm really going to do this or not, but I'm glad I know how to do it after reading this article. And it's called How to Create a Mirror Image Photo Effect in Camera. So essentially what they've done is they found a nice twilight cityscape that they wanted to photograph. And instead of just having the straight cityscape, they set up this rig using a plexiglass and some camera controls to photograph it in camera so that it has a mirror image below it. Almost like the cityscape was sitting at the edge of a large body of water that was very still, and you could see its reflection in the water. It looked really neat. I mean, it really added something to the shot. And this is something that we deal with a lot for night shooting and twilight shooting, is any area that is not lit up, and it's usually the stuff in the bottom of the frame, it goes completely black. It's a waste, right? So either you crop and you have sort of a narrow kind of presentation for your image, or you find a way to make something happen down there in that bottom third. Well, they found a way at Digital Camera World to make something happen. It's a fun tutorial. I have the link in the show notes. I have the links to everything I talk about in the show notes at thedigitalstory.com. It's worth a look. It's one of those things that if you go, I want to do a photo project next week, and I'm actually going to put some preparation time into it, and I know a great spot I can do this, and I don't mind carting out a sheet of plexiglass and a tripod. This would be that kind of project so that you can come away with something, I don't know, that's just different than what you normally would get. In other news, DP's Review 2015 roundup of fixed prime lens cameras. So they have five of them here. These are cameras that the lens is fixed to the body and it's a prime lens, it's not a zoom. And they picked five of them. Now, I'm going to give you one of them just as an example so you know what I'm talking about. And then I want to have you guess any of the others on the list. So I'll give you the one as an example. The Fujifilm FinePix X100T. All right, that's an example of the type of camera they're talking about. Can you guess at least, I'm going to read them off here in a minute. Can you guess at least one other camera that made this list? You want to pause and think about it? If you're not driving, you can pause and think about it. If you're driving, just quickly say it to yourself. All right, here we go. Here are the other four. The Leica Q Type 116. The Sony CyberShot DSC RX1R Mark II. Yeah, that one's been on my mind a lot, and it's probably not going to go any further than that. As I mentioned earlier, the Fujifilm FinePix X100T, a very cool camera. The Ricoh GR2. And, you know, I love the Ricoh GR. I got to test the original one when I was writing for Macworld magazine. Unfortunately, I had to send it back. I did not want to. I wanted to keep that camera. One of the only things I didn't like about it was it didn't have built-in Wi-Fi, which they fixed with the GR2. I still would like to have that camera. It's just a great camera. It made the list. And then I was really happy to see this fifth one, the Sigma Quattro series. And I agree, these are cool cameras. I'm in the process of testing one. I've written about it a bit. I have one of the Quattros. And they are just so unique and so interesting and take pictures that to me look much different than pictures from my other cameras. Definitely very artistic looking. So those were the five cameras that DP Review listed in their roundup of fixed prime lens cameras. Kind of a cool bunch there. I wouldn't mind having access to all of them. gear we like. All right, today's gear we like. I'm not a superficial person, but I'll tell you, I picked this just because it looked so cool. And you'll see what I mean if you look at this image. The Ricoh WG-M1 waterproof action video camera with 1.5-inch LCD. So this is an action cam. This is, you know, in the family of cameras that are like GoPros. This is another entry. Now, if you've ever seen the Ricoh / Pentax waterproof compact cameras, you know that they just have this very distinct, I don't know, I want to say guy-like look, because, you know, they're all kind of almost like Transformers or something. You know, they just have that look, and I just love them. Well, so imagine now a baby Transformer. That's what this guy looks like. That's what the WG-M1 looks like. It looks like a baby Transformer. It is so neat looking. And it's $133 or $139, depending on which model you buy. I have a link to the one with the orange highlights. That's the link that I have in the show notes. And it looks so spiffy. All right. So those are the looks. That's what got me hooked. But then I went ahead and read about it. Here's some more. Noteworthy features include it's Wi-Fi enabled, waterproof to 32 feet without requiring a protective housing, shock resistant against a fall from up to 6 feet, cold resistant to temperatures as low as minus 10 degrees Celsius, has an ultra wide angle lens, it captures full HD movies. It also provides a host of kind of cool little features such as multitasking that allows the user to check real-time images by stills are being captured or movies recording. It has a 1.5-inch color LCD monitor, 14 megapixel high-resolution still images, and then it has high-speed continuous shooting up to 10 images per second. So it's got a lot under the hood too. It's not just, you know, transformy looking on the outside. It's got some bumblebee action underneath too. So anyway, I just think this is a cool device for $130, $140 range. There's a link in the show notes. Take a look at the picture. I'm definitely going to run a picture on the Facebook page, on our TDS Facebook page. And I'll probably use this as the feature picture for the show notes too on the digital story, just because I just like the way it looks. All right, this next piece is called Brighten Up Your Storefront. And this relates to the Zenfolio folks. I've been, you know, working with them a bit. I've been doing some research on their site, you know, and this is basically a portfolio and storefront for professional and freelance photographers. And what they've done is they've done some updates to their service here. And I have three of them that I think are really interesting. You know, the category that I put these three updates in is that for freelance shooters who want to present a professional customer experience, check these three things out. So this is all part of the Zenfolio service, Zenfolio.com. Email templates. So they have created email templates where you can customize them for group, gallery, collection, event invitations, so that you can do them quickly and they look very professional. The next one, one-click price lists. So I'm just going to read you what they say about it here. Price lists are easier than ever to create now that we do the work for you. Your new price list comes with the most popular products pre-selected. You can start bringing in sales in two clicks with no hassle. You can, of course, still easily add or remove products and adjust each product pricing to suit your needs. So this is for those of you that sell prints on your storefront site, on your portfolio site, which Zenfolio does have this ability. But, you know, sometimes the hassle to set it up. You know, you got to set up the price list. You got to do all this sort of stuff. What they've done is they will create that price list for you with the most popular items. And then you just go through and say, yes, 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 no, yes, no, yes, no. Adjust the price on this. hit the save button, boom, you're done. The third thing is that they've improved the shopping experience. So they've made it more visual, simpler to navigate, large preview images. They have a new sidebar that makes it easier for your clients to browse products with fewer clicks. Just overall, just really gave it a nice little facelift. So these are three of the most recent improvements. In other words, if you haven't been to Zenfolio for a while, you haven't seen these. These are brand new. And if you're shopping around for a service that will allow you to present a very professional portfolio to potential clients and to take care of them once you have them, you know, once you've done the shoot, to fulfill, you know, getting them the files, allowing them to buy prints, you know, all that stuff that you want to take care of online, take a look at them, zenfolio.com. Very nice stuff, very professional, and these spiffy improvements really do brighten up the old storefront. Member quote of the week. Intelligent comments from the Digital Story Facebook page. So I posted an article called Aerial Photography Without a Drone. And basically, what I was doing, I took an Olympus Air camera. I put it on this new Manfrotto stick that has connectors on both ends. It's very clever. It's a very neat stick. Raised it all the way up. Had my iPhone at the bottom and the Olympus Air way up at the top. And then I could take really just kind of neat aerial photography shots using this device. And it was really fun and really a different perspective. I mean, if you go an additional, you know, 7-8 feet up in the air, perspective changes quite a bit. And I can do that with my, you know, holding the stick in my long arms. And plus, I'm already 6 feet off the ground, right? So anyway, so in response to that, which I thought was a fun piece, David Michael Rogers writes on our Facebook page, I used a similar setup to investigate some squirrels who had taken up residence in a brick column in my building. I couldn't see exactly where they were getting in and out, so I stuck the Air on a monopod and poked it up into the rafters. I got a somewhat odd shot of a squirrel sticking her nose out of the access they'd made. I have an expensive monopod that doesn't have a quarter 20 at both ends, but I can use the small Pedco UltraPod, the tiny one, and the Velcro strap wraps just tightly enough around the bottom extension so I could use the full length of the monopod. So what he did was, yeah, this is a cool thing, the UltraPod. It has a Velcro strap, so you can put the Olympus Air on the UltraPod and then strap it to the other end of the monopod and then, you know, raise it up over your head. That was kind of his DIY solution to not having the connectors at both ends. So anyway, I thought that was pretty clever. Really, in his case, he was using it as much as a periscope as he was a photography tool, although he did capture some images too. So thanks, Michael Rogers, for sharing that clever use of, you know, putting basically an Olympus Air or any small camera on the end of some sort of stick and then viewing the images on some sort of Wi-Fi enabled device. And that is this week's member quote of the week. Software download. Got a good one for you this week. So Pixelmator rewritten, now OS X Photo Extension 2. So Pixelmator has been a very popular app on the Mac platform. What they said was, Apple put all these cool imaging tools into the OS. We're going to tap that, put a beautiful interface on it, do some very, you know, creative things with image editing, and then, you know, present it to people. And it's been very popular. It's a very popular app. When Apple went to El Capitan, they made some changes to the core imaging system, and Pixelmator had to rewrite. They had to rewrite big chunks of the application, which they've done, and it's now in the App Store for $29.99. And the cool thing about it is when they had to do that rewriting, they said, what the heck? And they added it as a photo extension also, which means that if you're using photos for OS X, you can add Pixelmator to your list of photo extensions. It is now the fifth one that's available. And it's the whole photo extension thing is, I think, really excellent because it allows you, while you're inside Photos for OS 10, to expand its ability through whatever these photo extensions can do. There's a black and white one called Tonality. There's a Pixelmator now, and on and on. So you can use these specific tools which within your Photos for OS 10 environment. This is a very powerful, very good app for $29.99. It stands alone. It's a good standalone app. It's for Mac users. You need OS 10 10.9.5 or later to use it. 64-bit processor. It's slick, and I'm really happy to see the Mac imaging apps go this direction, where they're, when they're rewriting their apps to make them compatible with the new OS, I think a lot of folks are going to be also creating photo extensions, which just makes our Photos for OS 10 experience all the better. Pixelmator 3.4. Cash in on greeting cards. So in their blog, Red River Paper writes, quote, "The Greeting Card Association estimates that more than 7 billion paper cards were sold last year at prices ranging from $2 to $10, and that women accounted for 80% of the sales. Despite the e-card phenomenon, 9 out of 10 people still prefer receiving and keeping a card that they can display on a desk, bedside table, or taped to the fridge." In this blog post, by the way, of which I have the link in the show notes, he goes on to say, you as a photographer, as an entrepreneurial photographer, as a freelance, you can get in on this. And I know a lot of photographers that are. I mean, earlier I was talking about, you know, John Hershey, who had to find all the images on his hard drives in order to participate in the book, Sonoma Coast. He also does fine art greeting cards, and he sells them in his local community. It's just really neat. What Drew Hendricks does in this blog post is that then they interview a few photographers who are having success in this, and they talk about it's a neat piece. It's a great idea. Even if you're not going to go into it for a business, it's definitely perfect time with the holiday season coming on to create fine art greeting cards. You can get the paper, you can get the envelopes, you can get glassine sleeves, you can get everything at Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story, and they have a wonderful Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Found in the bottom of the bag. Got a couple items for you. I've added the Nimble ultralight shoulder bag to the Nimble store. And this bag is truly an ultralight. It's a shoulder bag. It's a little bit bigger than the Nimble shoulder bag that's in there right now. It's made out of a completely different material so that you can fold it up, and it's super light, and it'll fit inside your backpack. It'll fit inside your suitcase, whatever. Then when you get to wherever you're going, if you want to just carry around a camera, a couple water bottles, it has two outside water bottle pockets, has two zippered pockets. And it's very discreet. I put the Nimble Photographer logo on the inside of the bag, on the inside pocket. Looks really cool. So from the outside, it just looks like you're carrying around just a regular old shoulder bag. YKK zippers. We added zipper pulls to them. Very easy to use. Very nice. Now, here's the thing that no one else knows except listens to the podcast. This is a limited edition. I could only get so many of these bags. And I got what I got. I got as many as I got. I got the embroidered walking man for the inside. I got the zipper pulls. Lee and I put them all together. And when they're gone, I think they're going to be gone because I don't know if I'm going to get a chance to get them again. If you're looking for a super light shoulder bag, $29.95 in the Nimble Photographer store. On the workshop front, the TDS 2016 workshops reserve list, Eastern Sierra is hanging on to its lead for top vote getter, although San Francisco street shooting made a little bit of a push last week. They got super close. So I have Reinvent the Wedding, Street Shooting in San Francisco, Eastern Sierra Workshop in the fall, and then Point Reyes, Point Reyes in the summer in August, Point Reyes National Seashore, brand new workshop. Those are the four workshops. If you want to get away and treat yourself to something fantastic in 2016, go to The Digital Story and click on workshops. All the information is there. And finally, if you're going to buy something from B&H or Amazon, please go to the site first. Click on the respective ad tile in the center column. You'll go over to the site. Then you find what you want and it helps support what we're doing here. That is going to do it for me for this week. I'm heading over now to the other microphone because I'm going to be on This Week in Photo, which should come out on Friday of this week. So I'll be on there with Valerie. Should be a good show. Hope I have enough voice left. Hope you come back next week. Thank you for all of your notes, all of your support. It, you know, just the participation is so fantastic right now. I am going to keep it going on my end, but I truly appreciate everything that you're doing on your end. I'm really looking forward to 2016. But first we have next week. Hope to see you then. Bye-bye now.